in the first hour, we did hear Buggles and Video Killed the Radio Star. And that is Debbie Doss, who was the original Buggle, with her own version of Video Killed the Radio Star. And I'm pleased to say she's on the telephone. Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Sue.
Now, I've got to say, you sound very, very English for somebody who's born in Missouri.
Oh, well, I've lived here a long time. I came over in 72, originally from St. Louis, but, you know, my Midwest accent comes out sometimes.
All right, we'll allow that. You've had a very exciting career so far and still continue to do so. Where did it all start from you? Because I understand that it started with the Kinks.
Well, it did. Well, it started in my bedroom with the hairdryer singing through the tube.
Oh, right, okay.
Doing harmonies, as you did. But the first record I bought as a 12-year-old was Well Respected Man by the Kinks.
Ah.
And then 8 years later, I was in London and Ray Davies had written a musical called Preservation and he was auditioning for extra singers. So I auditioned and got the job.
Gosh, that must have been fantastic. How many other people were there?
Gosh, there were four lady singers, four male singers, a horn section of four, and the band. So, and we all toured. I toured with them for 3.5 years, but we did the States and we did Europe and the UK. So it was wonderful.
Wow. And that was your first professional singing?
Yes, yes. I was 21 and we were riding around in limos in New York and LA and it was wonderful.
Wow, what a lovely start for you.
It was.
What a lovely start. And some of the songs that you've done, actually, because you've got this EP out, you've got a couple of Ray's songs on there. What is it, do you think, about him as a writer that, attracts anybody to his songs?
Well, Ray is such a brilliant songwriter, and he's a great observer of people, particularly English people, and a great storyteller. So the songs I've chosen of his, well, the one, Nothing Lasts Forever, is from Preservation, which I liked. It's a ballad.
Mm.
It's a duet, actually, but I'm singing both parts. And Waterloo Sunset, just a classic. He's just a classic English songwriter, I think,
right?
And still going strong.
Yes, very much so. And wearing Cuban heels as well.
Is he now?
Well, I saw him. I can remember seeing the Kinks in those early days, and they always wore Cuban heels.
Oh, right, okay.
Just a strange thing that I had about them. But it's not only the Kinks that you've been recording with. I mean, we're all well aware of Video Killed the Radio Star. And I can remember, I think it was a couple of years ago, that there was a special gig that Trevor Horn, Jeff Downs and yourself were there at the Museum of Music in London.
Not me there.
Was it not you there?
I did the Prince's Trust. We did Wembley in 2004
with
a cast of thousands. It was everyone Trevor ever produced. We did the Supper Club as well in Notting Hill.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Well, I thought it was you that was there. Because nobody, I mean, the oh, can you do the oh, oh?
I could do
that. Go on, do it for us.
Oh, oh. There we go.
It's wonderful. When you were actually, when that was being recorded, was that the idea that was put forward by Trevor Horn, or was it a bit of you?
We were down in Psalm East, I recall, and I was working with another lady singer, Linda Jardim. She's now Linda Allen. And I remember getting goosebumps when we did the chorus, because we did the choruses of Video Kill the Radio Star.
Yeah.
And then we did the harmonies, and we tracked it, and it got more and more exciting. But we also did the O's and tracked those, and... I think we do sing it in quite an American way.
Yeah.
So Linda and I both, you know, put on the mid-Atlantic accent, which a lot of people do when they sing.
You can't help it.
So I'd like to think our performance helped contribute to the success of it. But, you know, Trevor and Jeff had very ideas that they, you know, they wanted us to do, to sing the part. So the melody was theirs.
Yeah. Wonderful producer, Trevor Horn. Genius.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. Very, very versatile, Trevor.
What was it like during those early times for female singers? Because some people say it wasn't that easy if you were a girl to kind of get your own deal and do your own thing.
Well, it is, which is probably why it's taken me such a long time to have a go myself, really.
Mm.
I did work with some other guys, and I was in a girl group called Love Force for RSO, and that didn't work. And two other guys wrote a song for me, but it is quite tough. And in those days, I remember going to A&R people who said, "Oh, Debbie, it's very nice, but, you know, you sing too well."
Oh.
And people had to be punkish or something, or have, you know, a different... style. So it's really good that a lot of female singers these days have melody and can use it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Oh, you being one of them as well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. You've recorded with so many different people, haven't you? You know, David Gilmour.
Yes.
Ian Gillam. Now, Ian Gillam can sing a note or two, can't he, from Deep
indeed.
Purple?
Oh, indeed. He's a belter. We did a Friday Night Live with Gillan and Glover, that's right.
Wow. Mm. Mike Oldfield?
Yes. Yes.
Stunning, stunning writer. Colin Blunstone, who's actually been in the studio and sung for us.
Oh, has he? Oh,
yeah.
Colin has the most beautiful voice.
Doesn't
Colin?
He just? I think he's one of our, you know, major male voices in this country.
Yes, he is wonderful, Colin.
Yeah. Who else?
Oh, gosh, who else? Christa Berg.
Brilliant.
Christa Berg.
Yeah.
Bill Wyman and his Rhythm Kings.
What a great... Isn't that a great band?
Yep. Hot Chocolate. Lovely Errol Brown.
Yeah. He's still out there, isn't he?
I think he's retired in Jamaica now, but he was lovely. When Video Killed the Radio Star went to number one in 79, I was touring with them, and he brought in a bottle of champagne to the dressing room and then let me have the day off to go down to London to film Top of the Pops.
How fantastic.
He was lovely. He was a lovely man.
Wowee.
Heatwave, if you remember them.
Heatwave. Oh, Boogie Nights.
Yeah, lots of oops.
Yeah, that's right. So was that your speciality then, to be able to get those high harmonies and track them?
Actually, tracking was done a lot in the day, and we did it ourselves. We didn't have this auto-tune stuff.
No, I know.
And that was part of it. Part of your skill was going in and listening and working on vocal arrangements too, with ideas of tracking this and a harmony here and tracking that. So, yes, we actually just did it naturally.
Has the world of session singing changed so much? Because I know that, you know, you talk to people who started off doing sessions and then did their own thing, and they said, yeah, you know, every day somebody's ringing you up to do something or another. Is it as busy?
Well, I think it was back in the day. The busiest session singer I ever knew and worked with was Carl Wayne.
Oh, right, yes.
And I worked with him loads of times. In fact,
he joined the Hollies, didn't he?
He did indeed.
Yeah.
He did. But we did, I was the anchor butter cow to his anchor butter bull.
Oh,
were
you?
We did jingles together, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I was the old cow.
Oh, what fun. What fun.
So it was fun. And Carl had a full diary. You know, he had at least four sessions a day. But I think things changed with library music.
Yeah, yeah.
So they perhaps used more recorded music. And I think it was to do with contracts and money and things. And then also, of course, people could start composing in their bedrooms.
Yeah, exactly.
The big old studios.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, your EP, you know, this is your bit now, isn't it? This is Debbie Does is the title of the EP.
Yes.
And it's got Video Kill the Red Star, as we just heard there. And also a lovely French song that you've written yourself.
Oh, yes, I did. Chachant.
Yeah?
Well, I'll tell you why, because I played... And I have to tell you who plays guitar. It's Phil Palmer plays guitar on Video and Nothing Lasts Forever. And I worked with him in the Buggles, but he's also Ray's nephew.
Ah, right.
He's a wonderful guitarist. But I played them to Ray after we'd done them at Conk.
Yeah.
And Ray sort of said, ooh, sounds good. Now try something you've written, which is what encouraged me to write my own.
Have
so
fun.
I did.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Once he sort of heard your other bits, did he sort of say, oh, yeah, that's okay? Did he give you any pointers? Is he like that?
He hasn't heard the rest yet.
Ah.
I sent him a text just now and saying, you know, oh, doing my first radio interview. So I will put one in the post to him.
Good. And well, the thing is, I mean, let's put this out in the universe now. If you want to come in and sing live, and if Ray wants to come with you... That would be a brilliant gig, because I know that he loves the Fens. I know that he really quite likes the Fens, because I remember watching a programme with him, because he likes the vistas and the outdoors and the flatness of it all.
All right.
So he could do, you know, he could do a bit of nature and come in and play
well,
a tune.
Could, because he was the male singer on Nothing Lasts Forever in the original Preservation version, so, if he wants to come in and do that, he could do a duet with me.
Okay. All right. Well, just ask him. It would be fine.
You know,
no pressure at all.
Indeed.
You know, everybody knows now that, you know, we've asked you to ask him, so.
Oh, great. Fine. No pressure at all then.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, Mick Avery is on the album, is the EP, the EP as well. He plays on Video and Nothing Lasts Forever, so he's the drummer from the Kinks.
Wow. So it's all very, you know, it's all the family together.
Indeed. It's all connected.
All right. Now you've got this, you know, you've got your EP out there. Are you going to go on tour, going to do some gigs somewhere?
Oh, gosh. Well, if there's interest, I suppose. Phil lives in Rome. My other guitarist, Diesel Martin, lives in London. He's the one on Waterloo Sunset. If people are interested, if they want me, I could put something together. It would be great fun.
Well, there you go. Because I know that one gig that you are doing on Sunday the 16th of November is actually sold out, and that's with the cast-off Kinks at the official Kinks fan club meeting.
Yes, that's right.
I know quite a few people that go to that, and they say it's absolutely brilliant, yeah.
Oh, it's three sets, and it's about 4 or 5 hours of Kinks songs, and one after the other.
How amazing.
With a cast of thousands on the tiniest stage in London.
Oh, lovely. Mm. You must enjoy it. What do you think has been, you know, the kind of best thing in your career for you?
Wow.
Not in success-wise, but, you know, that's made you say, yeah, that made me happy.
It's an odd one. It's when we did the Prince's Trust at Wembley, we got introduced to His Royal Highness Prince Charles. Mm. And when I got introduced to him, I'd practiced my curtsy and said it was an honor as an American, you know, to meet him. Mm. And that I ate some of his duchy food.
All
he
right.
said, oh really, what do you eat? And I said, your sunflower and honey bread. And he was telling me about the margins being squeezed out, and I was thinking, wow, this is really boring, this conversation with Prince Charles. So I actually said to him, I said, I have to say, I had a dream a few years ago where we snogged, and it's entirely true, and Prince Charles tipped his head back, laughed his head off, and said, oh, that's the funniest thing anyone's ever told me, but I'm afraid the reality would be rather disappointing. And that was it, and I blushed, and off he went. So
Debbie,
I had a moment with Prince Charles.
You're a bit of a girl, aren't you?
Well,
I can
there
see.
You go. We don't get royalty in the States much.
I suppose so. Scott, who's listening in America, actually, says, is your piece a great song? Well done, Deb.
Well,
is it available in America? ?
It's available now on iTunes,
mm-hmm.
which I'm guessing.
You're hoping?
I'm hoping we'll go to the... Oh, yes, it is, because two of my school friends in St. Louis bought it.
Oh, that's good.
So I know you can get it there. And it will be on Amazon from the 27th of this month.
Cool.
And shop. So yes, you can.
You sound like you're really excited about this, and that it's you know, a good project for you.
I am. I mean, yes, I've waited a long time to try something as me, and it's good fun.
Yeah. Now, your other love, of course, is photography, isn't it? Is that what you started with when you came to England?
Yes. That's where I began. In fact, the first concert I did was in Illinois, Southern Illinois University, and I photographed the Rod Stewart and the Faces, who were touring with Joe Cocker and I think Ike and Tina Turner. So that's why I started with photography. And I came over, I was supposed to be doing an independent study for my university, and I never went home. I stayed over and started freelancing. So I took wonderful pictures of people like David Bowie, all three nights at Hammersmith Odeon, when he retired Ziggy Stardust.
Cool.
So Led Zeppelin, the Rolling Stones. It was great. I got fired from a semi-pro band from... called Rain, with Robin Le Mesurier was our guitarist.
Uh-huh.
We had a gig at the Fulham Greyhound, and I also had the opportunity to photograph the Stones in Rotterdam. So I actually went to Rotterdam. And I got fired from the group for not taking it seriously. Just before he became a womble, I have to say.
Oh, right. Oh, okay.
So,
well, fair enough.
We were that serious then.
Oh, bless. It sounds like you've had a great time. I mean, there's a book in all those photos, surely, isn't there?
Ooh, now that's a touchy. So I did try. I won't name it. I did try a couple of years ago, and I went to see a publisher and thought it could work, and I had a title and everything, like every picture tells a story, but I was told that it was very much like Almost Famous. So
hang on a minute, because just before we spoke to you, and I spoke to him earlier on, we were talking to Alex McKenzie, who's he did a book called The Life and Times of the Motown Stars.
Oh, really?
And he's kind of updated it now, but he's also putting a box set together of the Motown music, and he's doing it on Pledge, which is normally, you know, like you get artists come in and say, well, yeah, I'm trying to get my album made and I'm going on Pledge, but
really?
Pledge is the new thing. Now, I think, you know, with your history history.
All right.
And the places you've been in that, Deb, I think that maybe Pledge, you know, could be the way.
Oh, I'll check into that.
I think so. And ask Ray to get you started, and that might be good. And then you come do loads of gigs.
Well, I have taken pictures of Ray. There's one iconic one that gets used quite a lot in documentaries about them from White City.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually do have pictures of the Kinks from...
There you are. I'm sure you wouldn't mind, would he?
A long time ago.
Yeah. You sound like such a lovely lady. We want you to come in and play live for us one day. Will you do that?
Of course. I'd love to.
Brilliant.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Love to. Gives me a goal.
All right. We want Debbie Doss at Christmas, then, if you don't mind.
Fine.
Towards
better
that way.
Than Debbie does other things.
Yes. Let's do Debbie Does at Christmas.
Indeed, Debbie Does Christmas. Okay.
Brilliant. All right, well, let's play this wonderful track that's on your repeat, Nothing Lasts Forever, where you're singing all the parts. It's been a joy to talk to you. Thank you so, so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for asking me, Sue.
Okay, and it's debbiedoss.co.uk if you want to find her online. Debbie, thank you so much.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
And nothing lasts forever.